This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Several public school districts across the state are modifying their education plans this fall. Some districts that began with remote only or Plan C instruction models are preparing a transition to some in-person learning. Under the governor's new directive, elementary schools can reopen to all students, while middle and high schools must remain in a hybrid model of in-person and remote learning. Among school districts that intend to make the switch are Guilford, Johnston, Charlotte-Mecklenburg, and Wake counties. Here to unpack what a mid-fall return to classrooms would look like is WUNC's Fletcher Fellow for Education Policy Reporting, Cole Del Charco. Cole, welcome back.
Hey there, Frank.
Some school districts are announcing modifications to their instruction plans. Walk us through the tentative plans for at least a few of those districts.
Well, that's right, and this all comes after Governor Cooper's announcement, as you were saying. Over in Johnston County, they're sending elementary school students back full-time by the end of October. In middle and high school, they're going to have two cohorts going back 2 days a week in Plan B. In Guilford County Schools, they'll be sending elementary school students back in late October, phasing into full-time in-person instruction also. And the middle school students will be going back in Plan B in late October. In Guilford County Schools, again, high school students will return in Plan B in the spring. And, you know, all of this is contingent upon things going well with the virus, obviously, and the state staying about where we're at right now. And something I've been following a little more closely is over in Wake County, pre-K through third grade students and students with special needs will be coming back in person in October. And that'll be a 3 week transition period before they're back full time in November. Fourth and fifth graders and middle schoolers in Wake County will be back in Plan B starting in November, and they'll be doing a 3 week rotation. But then high school students in Wake County won't be coming back in person, at least until the spring. And then in Durham Public Schools, and actually a couple other districts are still trying to figure out what they're doing, but in Durham Public Schools, they've announced they're going to stay remote at least until the next semester.
Yeah, it's interesting. As you pointed out, we don't know what the virus is going to do, but public opinion has changed a little bit over time. At the beginning of the school year in August, public sentiment seemed to favor Plan C, the remote learning plan, and most of the large school districts opted for remote-only education. What has changed?
Well, that's right. And more than half of students in public schools in the state actually have been in remote learning, at least at the beginning of the semester. That was the case. You know, in my mind, it seems like one of the biggest things that's changed is students have been home for longer. You know, we are getting more used to having COVID-19 in our communities. The state is reopening more. The governor just announced we'll be moving into phase three later this evening. And, you know, I think people are trying to figure out, now that we know that COVID is here, we've taken some more time to kind of figure out, you know, how things are going to be somewhat more normal. I hate using the phrase new normal.
Right.
But you know, there is a need to get students into schools. A lot of people are having difficulty learning remotely. It disproportionately affects people who are kind of less advantaged in public schools anyways. And so I think, you know, with the governor saying we can do Plan A for elementary schools, and the fact that, you know, a lot of districts have done Plan B, smaller districts have done it pretty successfully for the most part. There have been some big hiccups, and you know, COVID is dangerous, so that's not something to sneeze at.
Well, let's talk about the differences among school districts between, say, a smaller school district implementation of Plan B and larger school districts.
Well, if you have fewer students in your school building, it's less to worry about. You've got fewer people walking around the halls. You may have smaller class sizes. It might be easier to do a Plan B, which means, you know, that you have to have 6 feet of social distance required at all times between students. And this is while, you know, everyone going into a classroom in all of these plans is going to be wearing a mask, teachers, students, everyone. But the Plan B that the governor required at the beginning, and part of the reason more rural or smaller districts maybe were able to make this work out, is they may have had smaller class sizes, or bigger classrooms so they could space their students out well. You know, you think of somewhere like Wake County or Charlotte-Mecklenburg, you've got a lot more students to deal with in general. And so it can be harder to make that plan B a reality without having to have students in class, you know, 2 days a week and then having them remote the rest of the week. And that also puts a lot of pressure on teachers.
Well, let's talk about some of the other differences, too. We sort of compared large and small districts. But again, the districts have a lot of autonomy when it comes to how they're going to make this happen. What are some of the things that you've heard about in terms of how different schools plan to bring students back safely into their schools?
Well, there are some things that are consistent across the board. And so that would be, you know, every student is going to have to go through a health screening before they come into the building. Staff are going to be required to also say, you know, I don't have any symptoms for COVID today. I got a temperature check when I walked in through the building. So, you know, there are going to be some lines with that, and it's going to take a little while every morning for students to get in there. There's also the issue of school buses and how spaced out are students going to be on those school buses. A lot of the districts have been, and we've been talking about kind of this plan B for a while, where students are bringing, or districts are bringing back students in two cohorts, kind of where one group will go back on a Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday is a cleaning day, and then Thursday and Friday, the other group of students are in person. You know, Wake County is doing a thing where they're bringing students back for a week at a time and then having 2 weeks remote. So there are some differences in that. I think each school and even down to every teacher is figuring out, what do I need to do in my classroom? Do I need a plexiglass shield? What else do I need besides just everyone wearing a mask?
Can you give us an idea of what you think is driving these decisions, these changes? Is it feedback from parents that's driving the decision to make changes now?
You know, I think that's a big factor. If you're a parent, you know, I'm not a parent, but I've heard from so many people who are and spoken with people who are saying, this is a very difficult situation. I mean, you go from dropping your kids off at school every day to now maybe you're trying to work from home, or maybe you have to go to work every day and leave, you know, especially a young child at home to fend for themselves on a computer trying to learn. You know, there's only so much a teacher can do from afar in that sense. And so I do think public opinion has kind of shifted on this. Like I was saying earlier, I think people are itching to get back to normal. There have been, even last night, there was a protest in Wake County with parents who want to return in person. And part of the issue there is also that, you know, there is an option for virtual learning, and more than half the students in Wake County are doing online, the virtual public school option there. And so they're saying, if the governor is saying that it's okay to go back in plan A for elementary schools, why are we still in plan C?
You mentioned earlier, too, the fact that this prolonged remote learning is starting to have an impact on some students, and it's just not working out well for them. What are some of the ways? Why is it so difficult for some students? Explain what's going on there.
Well, imagine if you're really young and you've never been to school before, and, you know, it may be pretty much you versus the computer, and you're trying to figure out how to access school in that way. You know, some students are able to go to childcare facilities, other places like that. In other situations, parents are having to stay home. But then there are also all kinds of other factors, you know, beyond just whether a student is able to learn well on a device or not. You know, some people are probably doing pretty well with that. For others, it may be more difficult to stay focused. But then there are also the other health concerns and issues where normally, you know, maybe a student who is at home and maybe is not being fed, or is even in a household with that's abusive, you know, normally they would have people in their schools who would be able to check in on them, see how they're doing. And now, you know, some of these students aren't seeing those same people.
What kind of feedback are you getting from teachers about these changes?
Well, you know, I think it's hard to speak to all teachers, but there is a lot of concern. I mean, bringing students back in person into a crowded room, you know, there's still so much we don't know about the virus. And while wearing masks and being distanced is going to help to a certain extent. Also, you know, how much good can it do when you're in a crowded room with a lot of students in Plan A? You know, maybe young students don't know how to wear masks. Maybe, you know, their parents haven't been teaching them to wear masks, or they haven't had to at home. So there are concerns that, you know, it's not actually going to be a safe environment. And so, you know, this is a tough balancing act. How do you bring students back, keep them safe, you know, both from the factors at home and the rest of the things they're dealing with, and help them learn, but also how do you keep teachers safe? A number of them are older, at higher risk for the coronavirus, other issues like that. It's just, there's no good option here, Frank, and I don't envy the people, you know, who are on these school boards, elected officials, who have to somehow decipher between what, you know, kind of everyone is telling them in terms of what they want.
Cole Del Charco is WUNC's Fletcher Fellow for Education Policy Reporting. Cole, thanks very much.
You bet, Frank.
Well, let's hear from someone who will be directly affected by Wake County's reopening plans. Kristen Beller is an educator and the president of Wake County's chapter of the North Carolina Association of Educators, and she joins us now to talk about how teachers in the district are processing the reopening news. Kristen, welcome.
Thanks, Frank. It's good to be here.
Tell us a bit about Wake County's approach to Plan B. What do you know about the logistics and how it's going to be carried out?
Sure. So the plan that was proposed on Tuesday night is different than from the plan that was passed. So I'll speak to the plan that was passed. What was voted on and passed by the school board will have students who are in pre-K through third grade and students who are in the special education regional programs, which are self-contained classrooms, returning to school at the end of October for a three cohort rotation. So each student will attend school for 1 week during those 3 weeks to learn the new safety routines, procedures, get acquainted with their teacher and their classroom environment. And then after that one rotation, they will all come back in full classroom in-person instruction. Fourth through eighth graders will, when they return, and they're returning at two different points, fourth through fifth grade will return in November. I believe they're going to return November 16th, and the sixth through eighth graders will return November 9th. But both groups, when they return, they will be in those three cohort rotations. And the plan is for them to continue in those three cohort rotations through the semester. For those folks who aren't aware of how early learners, young learners, enter into the school building, at the beginning of the year, every year, we spend a good chunk of the start of the year helping our students learn the routines, the procedures, how we move about the room, how we interact with each other, because we know that when we spend the time and invest in the time to teach them those things, then they gain the independence for us to leap forward with all of the academic content learning without having to interrupt instruction on a daily basis to correct or redirect on those routines and procedures. So really spending time giving students practice and investing in that time spent with them really helps to build their ability to contribute to the classroom environment and engage in meaningful learning experiences. And so the concern that we have is that students are going to receive in those younger grades either 4 or 5 days, depending on which week they're returning, to practice before they're in a whole group setting. And we know from what the doctors and scientists have told us is that the way that we ensure safety is that we have strict adherence to a plan that is centered on the three W's. And anyone who has a young learner living with them knows that sometimes to gain independence, often, almost always, to gain independence, they're going to need more than 4 or 5 days of practice.
Well, you got to make a lot of mistakes. You got to make a lot of mistakes. And if you don't put your shoes in the right place, that's one thing. But if you forget to wear your mask or you can't stay 6 feet apart with this thing, it's another, I think is what you're saying.
That's exactly right. And You know, for students who have been in classrooms before, so I'm talking about those first, second, and third grade students, they have some behaviors that they're actually going to have to unlearn because of the 6 feet distancing, because of the way, you know, we have really done a great job teaching our kids to be collaborative, to share, to be in spaces with other children. And now we're going to have to help them unlearn some of those things in order to provide a safe learning environment.
Well, do teachers feel prepared to return to in-class instruction? I mean, it seems to me like you learn how to, as you suggested, you spend a lot of time mm-hmm. learning how to teach children to be collaborative. But I don't know that there's been much preparation in how to, you know, keep kids 6 feet apart. Do teachers feel prepared?
You know, the large majority of teachers do not feel prepared. There are some that say that they do, and I think that the most important thing for folks to realize is that this year, the General Assembly sent students back to classrooms a week earlier than they were supposed to be, which in Wake County means that all of our educators who work in the schools, so not just teachers, but instructional assistants and other support staff, we all had just 2 days to prepare for student learning. And so even though the students aren't in the building, those 2 days weren't enough to both prepare for student learning and prepare for all of these in-person routines and procedures. And we're going to be making this transition and while we're still instructing students full time. And so that, you know, that is another factor that is part of what's going to end up being most likely school-based decision making around how do we provide time for staff members to get classrooms ready, to figure out what routines and procedures will work best for their space and prepare for the students to return in person.
And when we talk about this, we're talking sort of in generalities, but there are some very specific differences zip code to zip code, even in Wake County. Some neighborhoods that Wake County schools serve have far more COVID-19 cases than others. How do these, let's call them zip code disparities, affect the reopening, do you think?
Well, you know, that, I'm so glad that you mentioned that because we do have, you know, one of our zip codes in Wake County, 27610, has had over 2,400 cases and has had 43 deaths in that area. And, you know, across the county in 27511, there have only been 462 cases and only 3 deaths. And, you know, there are some who will say, well, students, you know, won't, that's not as big of a deal because students are less likely to become infected with this virus, or they'll be wearing their masks, so they'll be safe. But there are a lot of little pieces of this plan that educators still have questions about. You know, one being that in those pre-K-3 classrooms and in some of the special ed regional program classrooms, if the number of students who are in the space don't allow for the 6 feet of social distancing, will the masking be effective at preventing the viral spread? There are questions about buses and whether or not, you know, there will be enough distance between students and buses are also a less supervised space. You know, there will not be a bus driver who's able to look at students and remind them your mask is slipping down, pull it up, you know, or don't touch your mask. So in those spaces where students will be coming from different environments, where, you know, the virus may be experienced at or infecting folks at higher rates, in those spaces where there is less distancing and less, and essentially less adherence to the plan, there is a concern for what impact that will have on the health and safety of both the students and the public school staff that are in those spaces.
Kristen Beller is an educator and the president of Wake County's chapter of the North Carolina Association of Educators. Kristen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org.